and chapters that are amazing to me. So I'm going to tell you a quick one right here. Over the period of last year, when Andrew was ill, he had made a vow to me that everything that he would normally do, that he could physically do, he wanted to do, but he asked me, Dad, that's what I want to do. That's my statement of faith. I just need your help at times. And I said, okay. And so one of the things he wanted to do, there was a man that was approximately 10 years older than Andrew. He used to go to our youth group. And he had seen, Dave is his name, Dave Shaw. And he had seen a post on Facebook that Dave had a band. And Dave was a drummer at church. I used to give him the keys to the church so they could practice at church when nobody was there. And so I'd lost touch with him. He used to actually live in the apartments behind us for a little while when we first moved here. But I hadn't seen him for years. And he said, Dad, I heard their band on Facebook, and I want you to take me. They're playing at the outside place over here on Peary Road. I think Weebles was the name of it, you know. And, of course, I know all the bars. I hang out a lot. But but I said, okay, I'll take you to hear the band. And Dave hadn't seen Andrew, but Andrew had kind of looked at him as a big brother when he was there. And so it was right after Andrew had had the surgery to remove the tumor off of his brain. And he said, I said, are you sure you want to do this? And he said, yeah. So we go there. And Dave literally sees Andrew during a song that they were playing. He actually walks off his drum set while just during the middle of the set just to go and give him a hug and welcome him and say it was so good to see him. And then as soon as they were a break, they came to him and said, you know, we heard, you know, your story, tell us what's going on. And he said, what I'd like to do, Andrew, because you guys as a family didn't go on vacation, I'd like to have some band friends together and raise a fundraiser and give you guys some money so you could, you know, go enjoy your time with your family when you get better. And, you know, as we know, Andrew, in the physical sense on this earth, didn't get better. And so the time passes, and Dave gets a hold of me a month or two ago, and he says, hey, you remember when I committed to Andrew to do that thing? And I said, yeah. He says, man, it's just burning in my heart to do that still. Would it be okay if we did that as a memorial? And I said, Dave, do whatever your heart, you know, whatever your heart desires. And I'm not thinking a whole lot about it, but all of a sudden he tells me, I've set a date and I've got some bands, and actually one of the guys that used to play guitar here has got a band here in town, Chris Sorensen, and he gets a hold of him and says, I wanna play too. And all of a sudden there's four bands at the Curve Inn. Now, just so you know, I've never been to the Curve Inn until yesterday. Okay. I had never been there. You know, I don't know that I would have ever gone there, but I almost didn't. And you know, sometimes you just think, I don't know if I can handle this or not. I not only went there, but I stayed for the whole thing, okay? That was crazy. But what happened there, a couple things happened, and one was that I saw people who I used to go to church with years ago. I saw people who were passionate about something that was temporal when they were created to be passionate about something that's eternal. And I saw a desire for people to have significance. All of these things were things the Holy Spirit wants us to know and walk aware of wherever we go at all times. And but one of the most God moments was when a man who's a little ways away from me asked, I saw him talking to Dave, and he said he had something he wanted to give, and he pointed him to me, and he said, go talk to him. He came in and he said, I want to give a donation. He says, I heard about this, and though I didn't know anybody, and Dave said, this man's name, and he told me his name. And I looked at him, and I hadn't seen him for probably 20 years, but it was a guy that I used to know who was a worship leader at the church, the second church that I ever went to, maybe second or third. And I said, and he looked at me, and I said my name. Obviously, I look a little different, as did he. And he just went, oh my goodness, and he grabs me and he gives him this giant hug, and he says, brother, he says, what happened, what's this about? And I go, well, I said, Andrew was my son. And he was like, I had no idea. He had no inclination. And he said, tell me what's up. And we walked outside, and he said, well, and he started to talk, and he said, I asked him if he was still doing music, you know, and he said, well, I've got a studio and I do stuff. But he said, I'm kind of disheartened with the way the church takes money and spends it on themselves. And I'm like, he goes, there's a lot of need out there, and we got more fancy buildings than we know what to do with, and more, you know, new shiny things, that toys to play with. And he said, so I just asked the Lord what to do with my money, and he directed me here today to give it to this cause that I heard about. And he says, usually I tithe to some missionaries. And I go, really? And he goes, yeah. He goes, a guy that I grew up here locally with is doing some amazing work in Africa. Really? He goes, yeah, his name's Mark DeFrades. I go, really? I go, well, that's funny, because we actually support Mark and his work that he does. And long story short, you know, he's directed to connect, because the journey that we both were on, we didn't stop somewhere along the line. As unfamiliar territory as the curve might be for me, and as strange as giving to a cause that he's not familiar with was to him, we just kept walking. And his communication was, we certainly know that God is doing something here. Like I said, I don't know the end of the story, but all I can tell you is keep walking, because the connections, the opportunities, and the kingdom purposes that are higher than ours. You know, our logic is not his logic, and his purposes are way higher than ours. His ways are way higher than ours. Sometimes we just have to say yes and keep saying yes, even though we don't fully understand it. And it's an amazing, to me, it was an amazing opportunity to see God working in the midst of it. And I can't wait to see what else God may have. So keep walking. And now this morning, we're going to welcome Dan. Dan's got a word. You know, I most of you know Dan as a guy who always has something deep to say. He is a deep well. He loves the Lord, but he's a great brother and a great friend. And I'm going to ask you to pray for him with me, because believe it or not, as bold and lion-like as he seems, he gets nervous talking in front of people. Okay, and so we're just going to make sure none of that happens today. So, Father, we thank you today for this man of God. Lord, we thank you for this elder in the body of Christ, and for this one, Lord, who loves like Jesus loves. Today, God, we just ask that you would use him. Lord, we speak peace over his heart and over his mind. And together, corporately, God, we put a draw on the deposits of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you have enriched this man with. Lord, today we say, God, we want to hear what you have to say through Dan, and we give you the glory and the honor and the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, brother. Why don't we turn to John 10:10 first. I got a joke. Most of you probably know that I'm as serious as a heart attack. Okay. I mean, that's my nickname. I mean, that's what, you're just too dadgum serious. Why don't you get over your seriousness? And I don't know. I mean, that's just the way God has made me, is to be serious. Okay. So I'm going to tell a joke. What did one snowman say to ask the other snowman? You smell carrots? See that? I beat you. You beat me. Just there. Lord, help me to flow in your river. You know, part of that walking that Scott just talked about, continuing to walk, is something that Jan brought up about learning to guard your heart. You know, in the Word it says, above everything else. Yeah. Above everything else. Above everything else. Learn to guard your heart, because out of that is where life comes. And if we don't take the time or the effort, now see, I'm getting serious again. If we don't take the time and effort to guard our hearts, we lose our hearts. And this scripture in John 10:10, the beginning of it, it says this, it says, the thief comes but to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have Zoe, the same, that's the word, the Greek word for life, which is the same kind of life that God himself has, and that you might have it in abundance or without limit. You know, I've preached on that before here. But what we need to do is grab that word, and we need to believe what he is telling us, that we can have more than what we think. That he has more for each of us than what we can possibly know in that word Zoe, in that life that he has within himself. John 7:37 says, now, on the last day of the great feast, Jesus stood and cried, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture says, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. I want to talk about those rivers today, but I need to put some perspective on it. So I'm going to take you for a minute through the journey of my last 43 years walking with God, okay? Because it has something to do with how I got to this verse, okay? 1974, May the 11th, right around noon, I was sitting in a Pentecostal church after being raised Catholic. Only I wasn't sitting at the moment, because it was the end of the sermon and my hands were on the back of the pew trying to squeeze the pew into. It was a wood pew. And God, I have no idea what the sermon was, I really don't, but God was dealing with my heart and he was saying, Dan, you are headed the wrong direction. I knew it was God because I never called myself Dan. Yeah. Dan, you are headed the wrong direction, but you don't have to be. That's all he said. And at that very moment, Pastor Wells, my pastor, was up there, and he said, if anybody wants to receive Christ in their life, come forward. I ran down forward. I received Christ on that day, May the 11th, 1974. And of course, at that time, there was a lot of things going on. There was what I would call an outpouring of the Holy Ghost called the Jesus movement. Yeah. The Spirit was being poured out on young men and young people that were actually hearing the voice of God and actually responding to the Word of God and coming forth and getting saved in great numbers. And it was strange. We actually had a guy that just wanted to see, after a lot of his friends had got saved, he actually brought his Irish setter into church, brought him up to the front row, put his arm around him like this in the front row, and I'm looking and said, man, I wonder who that girl is with the red hair, you know? I get up there and it's a dog. And the pastor had nothing to say. He was wanting to see the move of God in the people. He never said a word to him, and it was Mark Taft. I don't know if you know Mark Taft or not, but it was Mark Taft that brought that dog in and got saved that day. And he said, you know, later, he says, I just wanted to see if he'd say anything to me. And he didn't. And so, you know, there was a lot of young people. There was a lot of kind of groups that we hung around with, 10 or 15 people that we would hang around with, fellowship kids that got saved, you know, anywhere from 16, and I was 22 at the time. And there was a place in Springfield called the Lighter Side of Darkness. And it was like a coffee house. And we found ourselves Tuesdays, Fridays and Saturdays going to this coffee house. And it was run by a couple that was out of First Assembly Church here that when they used to be over on First Street. And what we did was we would worship. We would, after worship, we would confess our sins to one another, which is really hard for young people and old people to do, is to confess their sins to one another. They would preach the word. And then there was kind of like coffee and tea and candy, you know, in the back for fellowship afterwards. It was from 6 to midnight. We would have 6 hours of just, you know, and you could either fellowship or down the basement. Down the basement there was these old toilet fixtures that were carpeted over, and they had prayer rooms in each one of those toilet fixtures, bathroom stalls. So, you know, if God had been dealing with you, if God, there wasn't any toilets in them. But you could go down and you could get before the Lord and you could let God deal with your heart. Okay, that's what we did on Tuesdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. On Sundays, there was regular service, Sunday morning, Sunday night. Wednesdays, there was regular service on Wednesday night. At that time, there were young men who were wanting to, you know, to skill themselves in teaching and preaching. So on Monday nights, we had young men's church that, you know, lasted the same as long as the other church, worship all the time, preaching, and prayer afterwards. So for the first 7 months of my Christian walk, I was in church 6 out of 7 days, Sunday twice. And I got grounded in this thing called being with God, knowing God. After that, you know, I mean, there were the church where I grew up in, Brother Wells, was a magnificent teacher. He actually taught college Bible courses for 6.5, 7 years on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 6 o'clock at night till 10 o'clock at night every week. And so, you know, I went to pretty much all of those, grew in my knowledge and understanding of the Word of God and of doctrine. And in the midst of that, the church was growing. We began home groups. We were part of a home group to begin with. We began leading home groups for years. I was part of the worship team. I played the drums. I've led worship many times, but in that church I didn't lead worship, but I just played the drums. I was a deacon, so Greg and I had volunteered earlier before we built the new building that had a half acre ground to take care of the grass. Then we moved into a building that had 12 and a half acres of grass, which took almost 8 hours every Saturday. For if we had three, take more, you know, if we had three, it'd take about 8 hours to do all the grass. So we were constantly in motion, working and serving and being with one another, serving one another. Then I got married in 70, Kathy and I got married in 77. We started having kids in 81. And in all the busyness and all the things that I had to do, after 14, 15 years, I began to ask myself, is this all, God? Is this all that there is to who you are and what I can have now as a son of God, here and now? You know, it was like for us in the Pentecostal church, the high point, we would worship with all of our hearts. And, you know, I sing too loud most of the time anyway. But worship with all of our strength and all of our sound that comes out of us. And we would worship and we would get to the point where we sensed the presence of God. And then we stopped. That was the high point of the ceiling that we knew, as we would stop there. And we would wait, and we would wait sometimes because at that time the prophetic word would come from people. There might be a word of prophecy come out. There might be tongues and interpretation would come out. There might be a song from the Lord that comes forth that would sweep over the church. And yet in all that, in that height, I mean, that's what we knew at the moment was the ceiling of what God wanted to do. And what began to happen was, God, is there more? God, my heart, surely, you have more. Yeah. Lord, where are the things in the Bible that I see that I don't see here? Where is the truth that I see about that in your word that I don't understand that will fill this longing that I'm feeling in my heart? And what happened was that I began to see that the posture of my heart was beginning to be satisfied with not knowing what else there was. I became satisfied with not being satisfied. And that is a danger. I knew the doctrine. I understood the levels that we knew. But what I didn't understand was how to encounter God. I did not understand how I was to further encounter God. We left that church and went to another church. But we began to feel this, Kathy and I both feel this, okay, what's next? I mean, like, what is it that God wants to do in us that we could understand more of what this longing is within inside of us and how God wants to fulfill it? And so we heard some rumblings around about what was going on in Toronto. Anybody remember Toronto Vineyard? At the airport in Toronto. And we began to hear of another outpouring of God. And so we listened to it about, you know, 7 or 8 months of this outpouring of God. And the next thing we know, we're being invited to a church across town that my old partner, Bob Armstrong, as a pastor of, about Leon Van Royen. Anybody ever heard of Leon? He was, who was his partner?
Rodney Howard
Brown. And so Kathy and I decided to go to this Leon Van Royen night, and he began to talk about encounters with God. And so we were sitting there, and as he's teaching, there are people that are groaning in the congregation. There are other people over in the corner dancing like angels. No music during the worships, or it's during the sermon. There are other people that just spontaneously laugh out loud and just cannot stop laughing for anything. And so I reach over, grab my wife. I grab my wife. And I'm saying, are you buying this? Or something like that. I don't remember. He's like, are you buying this? And she said, it's weird, but I can't move my legs. God does not always come in the way you think he'll come, and he'll offend your conscience to get to your heart. Leon laid hands on us that night, and we sensed an encounter with God that we have not known. We didn't know before. I actually took the pastors of the church that I was pastoring with at that time, took them to the next meeting, and they said it was the devil. And I stayed there for 8 months trying to convince them that this was a move of God, even though it didn't look like a move of God. You know? And God was offending us to get us to offending our minds so that he could get at our hearts. So we had to leave. I chose to leave the other church because I didn't want to bring division in the body. And we went over to the vineyard, okay? We went to the vineyard, and Rod and Leon was there for a few weeks also. And what began to happen was, you know, one day I was in a different church, and God began to speak to my heart, and all he would say was drink. In one service, he said three times, he said, drink, drink. Drink. And I didn't exactly know how to drink. But what began to happen at the vineyard was that we would have these times of worship that were just phenomenal. And we began to actually, after the worship service, let the Spirit of God move in such a way that we would just pretty much, a lot of the congregation would just be laying on the floor. Yeah. We would have gotten to the place of adoration, and then we would just lay and wait upon the Holy Spirit to do something and to speak to us and to reveal how he would encounter us. It was a great time, wasn't it, Scott? I mean, it was an encounter after encounter after encounter after encounter. And what doctrine didn't do for me in the first church, even though I love it, you need doctrine, you need scripture to stay in truth, it was the encounters with God. It was the encounters in the Spirit. It was the encounters day in and day out that were actually filling this longing that I felt I was missing before. You know, at the same time, Kathy and I were having trouble in our marriage. And I had nowhere to go. I didn't know how to love her as Christ loved her. And the pain of that broken relationship drove me to the church every day before I'd go to work to worship God and to encounter the Holy Spirit to fix in me whatever needed to be fixed that I could love her right. And I'm telling you that in the first church I went to, nobody ever talked about what it meant to encounter God. Nobody ever spoke, except in limited ways. They would speak about being filled with the Spirit. That was an encounter, and I had that encounter in that church. They would speak of being a new creation, but they would never explain or just talk about it doctrinally, rather than encountering what the new creation in me was. I never heard anybody ever preach on the idea that we are partakers of the divine nature now. Yeah. It was always put off for after you're dead. Mm-hmm. And then I heard a preacher one time said, you know what? It's not when you die that you inherit something. It's when the other person dies that's leaving you inheritance. Yeah. That's when you inherit it. And I was a victim of what I'm going to call groupthink. Anybody know what groupthink is? Yeah. Groupthink, to give you an example, they do tests. And what they'll do is they'll have hire 15 people to go into a doctor's office someplace and sit down in a chair. And they'll wait for one or two people that actually have appointments to go in there, and as soon as they get in there, all 15 people at one time will stand up. And the two people that have appointments are looking around saying, why are you standing up? And within about 2 or 3 minutes, they'll stand up too. And what I think was going on was, because the level of understanding of where we were to go in God, we didn't know to go any higher, so we just went along with the crowd until I got thirsty. And I think Jesus was dealing with this issue in this passage. It was the great day of the feast. It was the last day of the great day of the feast. It was the feast of ingathering, or the feast of harvest, where he yells out, "Ho!" Yeah. That's what we used to say. Anyone who thirsts, let him come. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and encounter me. And that will produce rivers of living waters in you. Rivers of living waters. Now that's a great doctrine. Yeah. But have you experienced that? Do you know what you have in God that you can actually experience and encounter that will change not only your life, but it will change the lives of people around you? This groupthink is, you know, I can see the woman at the well having groupthink. She said, "Jesus, you're a Jew. You don't have anything to do with Samaritans." Groupthink, been trained. And what the enemy, I found, wants to do in us, and the scripture calls it stealing, is to think, is to get us not to believe what God has given us. And what God is wanting to do is for us to get in the midst of this thing called thirst and coming to Him. He said, you know, one of the last things the Father prayed, He said to the Father, He says, God, I want them to be with me where I am. He's not dead. You realize that, right? He's alive. He wants you to come to where He is, which is in the secret place of the new creation that you and I are in Him. That's where He is. You and I carry divine life in us. What Holy Spirit, is he a guy or is He divine? You know, God said, if you know that I will come and Christ and I will come and make our abode in you. You are not mere men any longer. You are not mere women any longer. And what God wants to do in us in this particular moment, and please, I believe that some of this is prophetic. And what the prophetic does is this, that if you receive it, there's no way it can't come to pass. It will accomplish what it was sent to do. It will bring to pass what was spoken will be sent out, and it will not come back void. What He wants to do is for us to see everything that's in the river. Turn to Revelation, if you would, Revelation 22. Then He showed me a river of the water of life, clean as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb of God. So get this picture in your head here. There's the Father. There's the Lamb. This river, this water, this stream is coming out from under the throne. What do you think, or who do you think that is? It's the Holy Spirit. Okay? And in the midst of his street, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. If we are going to win this nation and this city, what is in that river must be in us and flowing out for the healing of our nation and our city. It can't be doctrine only. It has to be power. It has to be life. It has to be real in you that produces the divine, that sends forth the divine life of what's in you and touches that which is empty in the other person, that which they're longing for, but they don't know it. I was hoping that my grandson would be here today. Brian said he wanted to come up and listen to this word, because I'd have got him up here. He's cute as a bird.
True grandpa.
But you know, at 3 years old, he knows something that he doesn't even know that he knows. I would ask him, I'd say, what is your favorite Bible story? And he'd say, David and Goliath, David and Goliath. And I'd say, well, what's your favorite song? Dancing in the River, Dad, or Grandpa, Dancing in the River. I love that song. And do you see what I'm saying? Great and epic battles are won by learning to dance in the river. He knows this inherently. His mom and dad are leaders. I can see leadership in him already. But he knows it inherently by the Spirit of God that you know, surrounds him and is in him. So let's go back to Genesis 2 for a minute. Genesis 2, let's start at verse 7. And the Lord formed man. Excuse me, I'm jumping up and down here. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. And the Lord planted a garden towards the east in Eden, and there he placed a man whom he had formed. And out of the ground, the Lord God caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight, and the good food. The tree of life was there, and also in the midst of the garden was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now a river flowed out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it divided into four rivers. The first name was Pison. The second was Gihon. The third was actually the Tigris, and the fourth was the Euphrates. And what got me on this thing was Jesus in John chapter 7 and 37 was the idea that, you know, after he said that to come and drink, he said, and this he was speaking about the coming of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is relating or made a metaphor basically and said, rivers are my spirit. And I began to look in the scripture, and I began to see things that were in the rivers in the Old Testament that were really the Spirit of God, that were really the movings that told us about what we have in the Spirit of God that we can actually encounter. The first one, let's just take a first one. Let's just take I need a drink of water here. You all know the story of Joseph. And Joseph was a man, a young man, when he began to flow in the river of the prophetic. He received two dreams that were prophetic of what he was going to be, how things were going to be later on. Now, his brothers hated it. They were the groupthink. His brothers hated it and actually sold him into prison, where the only way he got out of prison was to stay in the river of the prophetic and believe God what was going to happen. He didn't give up. He kept walking in the midst of trial, in the midst of trouble, in the midst of loss. He did not give up, but kept moving forward into what God had for him, even though he didn't know what it was, had no idea what it was. And then all of a sudden, a heathen king Pharaoh actually had a dream, and the dream.
I'd lost touch with him. He used to actually live in the apartments behind us for a little while when we first moved here, but I hadn't seen him for years. And he said, "Dad, I heard their band on Facebook, and I want you to take me. They're playing at the outside place over here on Peary Road. I think Weebles was the name of it, you know. And of course, I know all the bars. I hang out a lot, but." But I said, okay, I'll take you to hear the band. And Dave hadn't seen Andrew, but Andrew had kind of looked at him as a big brother when he was there. And so it was right after Andrew had the surgery to remove the tumor off of his brain. And he said, I said, you sure you want to do this? And he said, yeah. So we go there, and Dave literally sees Andrew during a song that they were playing. He actually walks off his drum set while just during the middle of the set, just to go and give him a hug and welcome him and say it was so good to see him. And then as soon as they were a break, they came to him and said, you know, we heard, you know, your story, tell us what's going on. And he said, what I'd like to do, Andrew, because you guys as a family didn't go on vacation, I'd like to have some band friends together and raise a fundraiser and give you guys some money so you could, you know, go enjoy your time with your family when you get better. And you know, as we know, Andrew, in the physical sense, on this earth, didn't get better. And so the time passes, and Dave gets a hold of me a month or two ago, and he says, hey, you remember when I committed to Andrew to do that thing? And I said, yeah. He says, man, it's just burning in my heart to do that still. Would it be okay if we did that as a memorial? And I said, Dave, do whatever your heart, you know, whatever your heart desires. And I'm not thinking a whole lot about it, but all of a sudden he tells me, I've set a date and I've got some bands, and actually one of the guys that used to play guitar here has got a band here in town, Chris Sorensen, and he gets a hold of him and says, I want to play too. And all of a sudden there's four bands at the Curve Inn. Now, just so you know, I've never been to the Curve Inn until yesterday. Okay, I had never been there, you know, I don't know that I would have ever gone there, but I almost didn't. And you know, sometimes you just think, I don't know if I can handle this or not. I not only went there, but I stayed for the whole thing, okay? That was crazy. But what happened there, a couple things happened, and one was that I saw people who I used to go to church with years ago. I saw people who were passionate about something that was temporal when they were created to be passionate about something that's eternal. And I saw a desire for people to have significance. All of these things were things the Holy Spirit wants us to know and walk aware of wherever we go at all times. And but one of the most God moments was when a man who's a little ways away from me asked, I saw him talking to Dave, and he said he had something he wanted to give, and he pointed to me, and he said, go talk to him. He came in and he said, I want to give a donation. He says, I heard about this, and though I didn't know anybody, and Dave said this man's name, and he told me his name, and I looked at him, and I hadn't seen him for probably 20 years, but it was a guy that I used to know who was a worship leader at the church, the second church that I ever went to, maybe second or third. And I said, and he looked at me, and I said my name. Obviously, I look a little different, as did he. And he just went, oh my goodness, and he grabs me and he gives him this giant hug, and he says, brother, he says, what happened, what's this about? And I go, well, I said, Andrew was my son, and he was like, I had no idea, he had no inclination. And he said, tell me what's up. And we walked outside, and he said, well, and he started to talk, and he said, I asked him if he was still doing music, you know, and he said, well, I've got a studio and I do stuff. But he said, I'm kind of disheartened with the way the church takes money and spends it on themselves. And I'm like, he goes, there's a lot of need out there, and we got more fancy buildings than we know what to do with, and more, you know, new shiny things, that toys to play with. And he said, so I just asked the Lord what to do with my money, and he directed me here today to give it to this cause that I heard about. And he says, usually I tithe to some missionaries. And I go, really? And he goes, yeah. He goes, a guy that I grew up here locally with is doing some amazing work in Africa. Really? He goes, yeah, his name's Mark DeFrades. I go, really? I go, well, that's funny, because we actually support Mark and his work that he does. And long story short, you know, he's directed to connect because the journey that we both were on, we didn't stop somewhere along the line. As unfamiliar territory as the curve might be for me, and as strange as giving to a cause that he's not familiar with was to him, we just kept walking. And his communication was, we certainly know that God is doing something here. Like I said, I don't know the end of the story, but all I can tell you is keep walking, because the connections, the opportunities, and the kingdom purposes that are higher than ours, you know, our logic is not his logic. And his purposes are way higher than ours. His ways are way higher than ours. Sometimes we just have to say yes and keep saying yes, even though we don't fully understand it. And it's an amazing, to me, it was an amazing opportunity to see God working in the midst of it. And I can't wait to see what else God may have. So keep walking. And now this morning, we're going to welcome Dan. Dan's got a word. You know, I most of you know Dan as a guy who always has something deep to say. He is a deep well. He loves the Lord, but he's a great brother and a great friend. And I'm going to ask you to pray for him with me, because believe it or not, as bold and lion-like as he seems, he gets nervous talking in front of people. Okay, and so we're just going to make sure none of that happens today. So, Father, we thank you today for this man of God. Lord, we thank you for this elder in the body of Christ, and for this one, Lord, who loves like Jesus loves. Today, God, we just ask that you would use him. Lord, we speak peace over his heart and over his mind. And together, corporately, God, we put a draw on the deposits of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you have enriched this man with. Lord, today we say, God, we want to hear what you have to say through Dan, and we give you the glory and the honor and the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks, brother. why don't we turn to John